Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, Josh. I think we were kind of promised a semi-normal game week in game week 25, despite this Manchester United double that we were talking before we hit record. Yep. Everything seems to be conspiring against FPL managers in game week 25, despite like the constant presence. I guess that we can call this our Valentine's Day show.
Yeah.
Jared Bowen, I'm asking you live on Always Cheating, will you be my Valentine?
He did, because like part of it is like, okay, yeah, I get like, you know, this idea that there's these highly owned players and they're, you know, their points don't count exactly the same way as your lower owned players or whatever. But still, when you're looking at your team and your 11 starters this week and you see like 18 points, just getting those extra 15 or 14, whatever we're going to get from him today, it it just rounds things out a little bit, right? It just looks better than 20 because I'm looking at a lot of zeros across my team. I've got the zero from Cancelo, and that means Soufal comes on for 1 point, which, you know, awesome.
Better than zero.
Yep. Zero from Trossard. So, you know, he's not starting the easy fixture, but we'll be starting the tough one. So is it even tough though? I don't know. We'll talk more about Man United later. 1 point from Rafinha, subbed at halftime. 1 point from Jota, subbed on late. 1 point from Dennis when he got his weekly yellow card.
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah. So, but Cucurella, the one player I was on the fence, should I just hold my transfer? I brought in Cucurella. I got 6 points from him. And who knows? I mean, he could do something away to Man United. At the very least, like, that transfer is already a net gain. So I'm happy about that.
I believe you are now officially cuckoo for Cucurella. Is that fair to say?
For Cucurella, yeah. This is like the banter you were doing with that waitress.
This is the Brandon does his dad jokes.
Dad jokes. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've seen many ones. I see Livramento. I see Jota. I see Dennis.
Yeah.
And I suffered from not having a playing bench this week. I still haven't been able to offload my Chelsea assets. James, Mendy, Ben White, Arsenal don't play. So they blank. Josh Brownhill looks sensational today against Liverpool, but only gets 2 points. There he is on my bench. So I think it was frustrating to see big players like Jota and Cancelo benched, but I think especially Jota, we're really going to need him in the double for game week 26. So if we have to take it on the chin in game week 25, so be it. Now we just got to focus on the rest of the season.
Yep. And I'm planning to triple captain this week. We'll talk more about that later, but I haven't even brought in Salah yet. I'm going to hold off. The Champions League is at midweek, and let's just wait for any chaos. I mean, I thought I put the question because I wasn't able to watch. I ended up catching like the last 30 minutes of the match, but I didn't see the beginning, although I did catch up with highlights. You know, he's played a ton of minutes, and they threw him right back in after playing 120 minutes and, you know, three consecutive African Cup of Nations matches. He played for 30 minutes, looked good coming off the bench at midweek, and then played today. He was your captain this week, right, Brandon?
He was, yeah. So he was my transfer, De Bruyne out for Salah. We talked about this on the Patreon podcast, just risk De Bruyne not starting, and it proved like to be a worthy risk. He didn't play a minute. And I was feeling, especially after the, you know, universal Manchester United blank earlier in the game week, feeling great about Salah as a differential captain.
Totally.
Watching that whole match, my read was, I think he just seemed somewhat out of sync. And you can get these moments or these matches from Salah at various points in the season where, you know, it's just, he's not in either. He's not in sync with his teammates, or he's just not in sync with the ball. Yeah. I don't think he looked bad. I don't think he looked tired. I think it may be that he needed these 90 minutes to sort of get back into the rhythm of the team. So I'm not fully discouraged by triple captaining him going into game week 26, but I think that it does need some more discussion.
It does. So that's the theme of this week's podcast, which is five. We decided you gotta pick a theme here, Brandon, you know, for these double game weeks, right? And so it's five key questions just to make things nice and simple. Okay.
Yeah.
Five key questions for double game week 26. And Brandon, I'm going to, because these podcasts go along, I'm even gonna tell you before we get into them right now, for anyone listening, maybe they've never listened before, here are the five questions that we are gonna answer on this week's podcast.
Okay? I love it. The TOC right at the top.
That's right. Question one, quick takeaways about the FPL assets to target and avoid for each club. Question two, are we totally 100% sold on Salah triple captain? Question three, what are some under the radar options to consider for double game week 26? Question four, what forwards are we supposed to have exactly? This is a evergreen question, Brandon, but certainly very important for double gaming 26 as well. Uh-huh. And then question five is, to what degree can we ignore the doubles and just focus on really quality single game week players? And Jared Bowen, mm-hmm. obviously being a prime example here. He's like, it's kind of crazy, right? Like, when did he turn into, what even is he right now? He's like, Arjen Robben or something? Like, what's going on with him? It's like, it's crazy.
Well, there were moments in that West Ham Leicester match where I saw Antonio was like legit playing in the midfield. This is not like Harry Kane dropping deep. This is like Antonio taking up a right midfield position and Jared Bowen in the number nine. Moyes is clearly utilizing the form that Bowen's in. And guess what? Jared Bowen is actually an incredibly talented footballer. And I don't know that we need to discuss it beyond that.
No, I mean, because we have many times earlier on the pod, but I think, it was sort of interesting. I just thought that, I mean, it's a real level up. It's kind of fun to see a player really make the level up, and that's what's happened mm-hmm. with him. It doesn't feel like it's a fluke. It doesn't feel like he's going to come crashing back down to earth or whatever. On the Antonio front, it's interesting parallels possibly between him and Salah, right? Just two players who just have probably played too many minutes. Yeah. So far this season. I said I would do this to somebody on Twitter, Brandon, but there's an idea out there. I'm not really sure why, because I'm like the charter member of the Steve Bruce fan club, Brandon, but there's an idea out there that I am negative about. Well, the Man United thing is real and accurate. I can't get away from that one, even though I respect the club and I think Old Trafford's a great place to watch a match. But the Newcastle thing, I think, is a false narrative. I like Newcastle. I mean, put aside my feelings about sports washing for a second. I like a lot of the players in the team. I love St. Maximum. I love their fans. Like, St. James Park is one of the places I'd really love to go see a match.
Well, wasn't your issue? Your issue last season was you thought Bruce wasn't getting enough credit for keeping up a crummy, squad.
Yeah.
It wasn't that you had a bad taste for Newcastle. And I mean, whatever, that is in the past. What's happening right now is Newcastle won the January transfer window, it seemed, and they appear that they will comfortably stay up.
Yeah, I will also, while I'm in the walk back zone here, that was more of a clarification than a walk back for the record. Okay. Jadon Sancho, possibly I was too harsh in my assessment at midweek.
Okay.
I'm walking. It's not a full walk back. It's because he could pass more. Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking at our producer right now, and I'm asking them to isolate that audio of you admitting you were wrong, Josh. And
we should pull that clip out. He scored, scored Man United's only goal, and he probably created the best chance of the match early on when Ronaldo rounded the keeper and then hit the ball slower than a slug walks across.
I want to squeeze some juice out of this one. Tell me about step by step your emotions watching this as a Ronaldo captain.
Well, it's funny because I was helping my 5-year-old make breakfast, and so I had it on the iPad next to me, and so I didn't see it in real time. I saw the highlight, when a moment like that happens, like a really agonizing moment, they showed about 45 times mm-hmm. consecutively right mm-hmm. after that. Usually like the play has restarted and they're still showing the highlights.
One of those replays that looks really absurd given how slow Ronaldo's shot was in real time. Slow it down even more so in the slow-mo replay, and it's really absurd.
And any experienced fantasy manager knows that when something like that happens, that player is guaranteed to blank. I mean, I feel like in that moment, they should have just pulled him from the game. Like, there was no way. Like, it just, I know, like, we've just seen it so many times. Like, you miss, if he scores that, maybe he scores three more, on the day. But missing that chance, you felt like it was kind of over. And I'd gone for Ronaldo over Bruno. I was shocked a little bit by how high Bruno's ownership, his, you know, his effective ownership. So basically his, how many players have him then captain him. And it's like 134%, which was much higher than I was expecting, at least in the top 10K. So yeah, I mean, as far as my rank goes, I'm on 35 points, but I have five players left to go this game week, assuming that Trossard gets in there. I would expect Cucurella to play. I would expect Ronaldo and Bruno to play. I'm, you know, especially there's apparently there's some kind of mild injury with Cavani. So I think that makes it pretty likely that Ronaldo starts again. So yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I'm down about 10K. And so I'm hoping that with five players on Tuesday, I can scratch that back. And I'm like reasonably optimistic. So, yeah. And you're all out, right?
I'm all out on 36 points. So yeah, not a great game week for me.
My five players outscore you. It's going to be like, I'm crossing my fingers.
We'll see. 100%. We watch with great interest. and I've got a like a 35K red arrow right now. And, you know, I'm hoping to keep that within the 50K range, given the Manchester United Brighton double coming up. Doesn't feel great not having any of those players. I would put that game at a 1-1 draw, something to that effect. So I don't think it's going to be catastrophic for anybody who's underrepresented in that double. So, you know, maybe I'll just call it a pure watch and have some fun with it.
That's what I was saying to you when we did our Patreon pod on Thursday, was just, you know, schedule a big meeting with your staff, you know, like a good 90, maybe a full on 2-hour meeting, maybe do like a performance reviews for every single person in your department,
I feel like, I'm kind of been budgeting my rank rises over the last month. So I had a big 80K jump last week. Yeah. And, you know, me being out of free hits at this point, I need to have these big 80K jumps to make up for the inevitable backslides that I'm going to have. Game week 25 is one. I'll make up some more ground with doubles in 26, et cetera. And so we go.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, like you just want to come out net ahead over like a month or so. Yeah. Right. You can't play game week to game week too much. It's just too, there's too much stress involved. So, all right, well, and then, you know, one final question here, Brandon, before we get into Game Week 26 is, you know, Dan Parson asked, I think, an important question. He says, should FPL consider bringing back points at any stage of the season, or are you happy with the new system? What do you think?
Well, you know, I like the introduction of the Jared Bowen chip. I think that's been fun, you know, and that we get to play it every week.
But
the fact that everyone gets this chip and everyone gets to play it every week, you know, it's not like it's unfun, but it's not very challenging. The game is not challenging in that aspect. I agree, Dan. The game has become challenging now that you can't get points from your forwards. That was a twist in the tail, Josh. We didn't see coming.
That's true. We weren't expecting that. And that is the season long story. Yeah, but I remember back to game week one, I feel like it was like, didn't everybody score like between 85 and 105 points? Like, I want more of that. I don't care if we all own the same players. I want more. I just want to see my players score goals. Okay. Like I was happy. Bowen got a goal. Bowen got an assist today. I wasn't thinking to myself, oh, like who cares? Like, everybody has him. Like this doesn't seem like a very fun way to watch matches, you know, to like sort of like neg yourself, you know, when your player scores.
Yeah. Hey, this is my most used sports joke this season is somebody hit the Buffalo Wild Wings button. And I feel like we're at that point where somebody in FPL Towers needs to hit that button and generate a little bit of excitement for all of us watching.
I mean, I don't really know. I mean, we have all these doubles. Like, we just need one of them to turn into a mask. I mean, we should get that this week. And, you know, let's use that to make our way into our Game Week 26 talk. But first, I did want to say a quick thanks to everyone who supports the Always Cheating podcast, Brandon, patreon.com/alwayscheating. This is always the time of season when you get a lot of FPL dropouts, such a long season, that 18-day break. You know, just a lot of people, you know, we get these messages, the dropouts, you know, hey, you know, enjoy the pod, but I'm done with FPL for the season.
Lost interest.
See you in August, you know? For everyone who's supporting the podcast, I really appreciate everybody who wants to support the podcast, please do. Brandon, we have been talking about doing an Always Cheating mini league tournament, and you're the point person on this. So I'm putting you on notice on the podcast here.
All right, boss.
let's make it. Maybe in March we can make that happen. Yeah. So we're going to try to make fantasy fun again with our Patreon supporters. We did the Manager of the Month award as well. That's our t-shirt giveaway that we do every month for the highest scoring player for that highest scoring fantasy manager for that particular month. And we're doing weekly podcasts all the time as well. We got to figure out our schedule this week, Brennan. You and I are both traveling. Actually, no, I'm not traveling until Saturday, so I can do it.
We're going to work it out. Also, a heads up to current patrons who are on the Slack. Producer Zircan is running a contest in the Five Aside channel. So everyone's got 50 million pounds to build a Five Aside channel. We're giving away a free t-shirt. So check that out if you're on the Slack.
And a quick thank you to our newest and returning patrons, Brandon. Some are new, some are returning. Maybe they've heard my pleas, Brandon. Mm-hmm. Connor Siegel, Ralph Sund, Tom Rogers, and Artem Ermishin. Thank you so much to our newest Patreon supporters. Let's take a break, Brandon. We'll get back and talk about Game Week 26.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Brian, we're back. Game week 26. I've already ran off the five questions, so I think we can just jump right into them.
Let's go.
Yeah, and the question one, kind of simple, but I think it's a good like kind of table setter for everyone who is, you know, it's easy for us doing these two times a week podcasts to have a very good sense of who's playing and who we should target and all that stuff. But I think if you just need a refresher, just a reminder here, Brandon, we've got eight teams that play twice in game week 26. Some of them are kind of tricky. Like in Arsenal's case, they play in game week 26, but they don't play in 27. It makes things just a little bit trickier. Liverpool are actually the same way. Although in their case, it's maybe less important just because it's so essential to have two players from Liverpool when they play Norwich and Leeds at home. So I thought we could go through the eight teams though, and just a couple players you might consider for each team and a couple players you might want to stay away from for each team. Okay.
Yeah. So let's hit it with Arsenal, first team. They've got a home double, which is exciting. Yep. Brentford and Wolves. Now, of course, the caveat with Arsenal, we all know they blanked in 25 and they will blank again. It's like cry again from Seinfeld. They blank again in 27. So I think that's the trick with picking a good Arsenal asset to get. That is why I feel like Ben White is a great target. He's good for clean sheets. You know, they're two on the bounce, and Ben White has proved recently to be decent on bonus. Now, like wildly effective, but 2-1 in the last two matches for bonus. And at his price tag at 4.5, you can bench him. You know, you look at Aaron Ramsdale being a terrific fantasy keeper. It's rare that you're going to have a goalkeeper rotation where you don't mind benching Ramsdale. Now, maybe you can crack that code. You can figure out just Ben White jumps out at me as a great bring him off the bench for this incredible double. Then you can not worry about holding him through the blank in 27.
Yeah, I like the price. There's Tierney is a little, it's actually crept up a little bit. I feel like he was 4.9 a while ago, and now he's back up to 5.1. But, you know, a little more attacking threat tiny bit of goal threat, but certainly some assist threat. I mean, the thing with Tierney is he's not exactly – there's not a ton of target men for Arsenal to – you know, it's not like he's not throwing those into peak Giroud or something like that. You know, it's Lacazette who's like, you know, 5 foot nine. Basically, every attacking player in Arsenal is under 6 foot tall, you know, which just makes things a little trickier for crosses. At least, you know, they kind of whipped in, you know, crosses from the left that you know, you might see a player score a header on. I mean, it doesn't stop, you know, Man City from scoring a boatload of goals, but Arsenal are not Man City, Brandon, sadly.
No.
Not yet.
No, they're not.
Gabriel is interesting. Just, I don't really know why he seems to have a little more of a knack for scoring goals than Ben White does.
Beyond a knack. Yeah. I think Ben White just doesn't have a knack Gabriel is just a normal footballer.
Yeah. It's three in the season already. I think he actually had one or two in the season chalked off on VAR as well. So, you know, I for some people money, I mean, I sort of think about my own squad. It's weird this season. I just feel like maybe because the forwards are so impressive, but I feel like money is not really my biggest worry right now. So, you know, it could come down the line, but I also am pretty sure I'm going to wild card in game week 20, you know, sometime after game week 30, let's say 31, 32, somewhere in that range, 33, possibly, maybe 34. You know, we'll talk more about that, Brandon.
Too specific here.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm with you. So if you want to take a punt on somebody who's just a little different, I think Gabriel could be kind of fun.
I was just going to mention this man, Lacazette, because I am right now, I have Ollie Watkins. Ollie doesn't double in 26, and Ollie doesn't score fantasy points. So double problems for your double game week. Yeah. I want to get rid of him for a doubler, and two players have my eye, and it's Raul Jimenez, who key for me is Jimenez plays a double in 26 and also plays in game week 30. Lacazette also doubles in 26 and plays in game week 30, but I have to then work around the blank in 27. I'll be tripled up on Liverpool, who blank on 27. So that's already three players that I'll have to bench. So I feel like Lacazette is a slightly better forward pick in this situation, given the fixtures for Arsenal and the attacking form of Arsenal versus Wolves, neither of which are kind of amazing. But I feel like I have to go with Jimenez just because of game week 27. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I basically agree. I mean, Leicester's defense is not super impressive, you know, so I think and West Ham's isn't either, who they would play the following week. I think that the player I was trying to look up as you were talking was Weghorst, who went off with an injury. I think he'd be the other player to consider, right, because they have the double-double. Right. Yeah. They double in 26 and 27. But he did go off with an injury. So it's almost like we just can't really talk about him on the podcast because, you know, why speculate for 10 minutes when we should have a much better sense, in a couple of days.
Yeah. Preliminary thoughts are it's a hip injury. So, you know, what is Voot's history with?
Do you think he went out dancing the night before?
Absolutely. He cut a rug. Always being punished for cutting a rug is Voot Weghorst.
Yeah. He didn't want to take one salsa class and now he's.
You had to go with the Viennese waltz, didn't you?
With a season ending hip injury. I think I would say in general, I mean, I know that those home fixtures are both good, but I'm not hugely enthusiastic about Arsenal's attack right now. I feel like I'm not going to be until next fall, honestly, when they get another forward.
Yeah, right. I agree. I think defense is where you want to focus. Like if you don't have any Arsenal and you want a piece of it going into the double, first move is the defense. I agree.
Yeah. So, we're agreed on that. And then, Gabriel Martinelli would have been the player that would have been really tempting just because he'd been looks so good at times this winter. But he picked up a red card and he's going to be out for the first leg of the double and they don't play in 27. So he's kind of instantly just irrelevant. Yeah. I mean, you could, you know, Saka, Smith Rowe, sure, you could throw them in there. Yeah, Smith Rowe still not getting starts. Like, so weird.
I wonder if that changes with Martinelli's red card because such incredible form. So, Smith Rowe, I think we have to pay close attention to Arteta's press conference, et cetera. And I think there are some Arsenal fans out there that would have a better insight into the prospective lineup. But he's an interesting one.
Yeah. And, you know, Arsenal have three matches to play still as well, but they're all terrible. They have the away to Spurs, away to Chelsea, home to Liverpool are the three they have to get made up. Yeah. Like, what a dreadful, those are three dreadful doubles coming down the line. All right. So, and I'm, by the way, I'm realizing, Brandon, that my under the radar options to consider is like basically being answered in question one. So maybe this is more like four questions to consider ahead of gaming 26. This first one's kind of a longer question though, so it's a doubler.
Yeah, yeah.
Burnley are the next team to talk about here. Remember, there's eight teams total. They play Brighton away and Spurs at home. I have been rather impressed with Burnley and how they've the player that I've actually been the most impressed with is Ben Mee. It feels like he is everywhere. Okay. It's like every time I watch Burnley play right now, it's like Mee is like running across the goal mouth to bat, you know, to knock a ball away, and he's smiling and laughing. It's like he Ben Mee is just like, you know, I feel like he's on it right now. And so
I was listening to the Fantasy Weekly, or not Fantasy Weekly, Football Weekly from The Guardian, and they were talking about how Burnley used to lead the league in blocked shots, and their blocked shots in front of goal have dropped this season. So maybe Ben Mee got wind of that, and now he's just trying to block as many shots as possible to get those numbers back up. But that's what we came to rely on Burnley for, is their center backs just kind of like blocking everything to make life a little easier for Nick Pope. I think Nick Pope kind of might fall into the same category as Ramsdale, interesting keeper option, but he doesn't have a fixture yet for game week 30. That could be a bit of a problem. What's the likelihood that Burnley Southampton actually happens? West Ham have to beat Southampton in the FA Cup in order for that match to drop into game week 30, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which seems likely. I don't know. Yeah. Seems, you know, I would suspect there's a good chance of that.
Do I hear you advocating for Ben Mee over Nick Pope?
Well, I mean, that's like, it's like a, just a, I feel like it's hard to compare those two because it sort of depends on what your problems are, right? Like it's, you know, like I'm just not going to have a double game week keeper. But someone like Ben Mee, I could bring in without too much trouble. I mean, you know, I mean, the Burnley defense, it's not like, I mean, you know, there's nothing like super fun about bringing them in. You know, it'd be more fun on a wild card or something like that. But, you know, like I wouldn't necessarily burn, I mean, Brighton away, Spurs at home. Spurs, we'll talk about them in a second. I mean, you could see one clean sheet and two. I mean, it's almost like, it's like the same rationale that I used to bring in Cucurella, right? Like they had two mediocre fixtures and the gamble was that they could pick up a clean sheet in one of the two, right? And so like 7 points from me across those two fixtures seems reasonable, and then throw in a, you know, I don't know, 5% chance of a goal. You know, I don't know if that's, five seems about right, 1 in 20, maybe a little higher than that, 8, 10, somewhere in that range. How many goals do you typically score in a season? Probably around 3, I'd say. What's your guess before I get there? How many goals do you think Ben Mee has scored? How many do you think he scored just last season? Let's just start right there.
One.
One.
Yeah.
Two.
Okay. I was close.
Yeah. 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 So that's a 1 in 20. That's like a 4% chance.
In the spirit of Ben White, the kind of the argument I was just making, Eric Peters has started in the last four matches, played 90, and he's 4.2 million. Yeah. This guy is fodder for your bench. He can come in and do a job if you need it done. So I think Eric Peters is just a low maintenance buy-in for Burnley.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. I think I mentioned, I said two clean sheets. So they had just a, re-clarify here. It was clean sheets in 23 in the double. They had back-to-back clean sheets, and then it was a 1-1 draw with Man United in 24, and then a 1-0 loss today to Liverpool. So really not bad, all things considered. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like I still feel like they're going to go down. I don't really know. Newcastle now is just up, right? They just showed just throw a bunch of money. I feel like, again, I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but credit to Newcastle, they didn't spend that much money.
Yeah,
right. You know, they just brought in a handful of additional players, a Trippier in particular, and
they brought in players like that they strategically needed to sort of like plug talent holes in the squad. It wasn't like they went out and bought a flair player that sometimes clubs think a flair player is going to get them over the line in an attacking sense. Yeah. And what Newcastle just needed was a bit more structure.
The Fulham move, right? The, yeah. Oh, yeah. God, yeah. But I mean, yeah, they're undefeated in five. They have 11 points from 15. I mean, that's kind of crazy. They went from 10 points to 21 in just 5 weeks. And now they're out of the relegation zone. They're 4 points clear of Norwich. And then you've got Burnley at the bottom and Watford. You know, it's kind of hard to look at this table right now, though, too, right? Because you have so many, you know, Norwich are in 17 points, three above Burnley, but Burnley have played three fewer matches. Yeah. So, you know, it does make things a little more complicated. So, all right. Yeah. As far as Burnley attackers go, I mean, Weghorst, we're going to punt on that for a couple of days. Cornet.
He looked okay today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of Cornet would be the one, I suppose, because he's got six goals in the season. He's had some moments. The question is whether Burnley are just so unimpressive. So, yeah. You know, like, I mean, do you want to captain a Burnley player in 27, for example, even though they have a double?
Burnley might be a slightly better double in option in game week 26 than sure. Watford. Beyond that, they are the worst team that we're talking about here. So I don't know that we need to, you know, push too hard on these options.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, give me, the 27 captaincy is going to be a tricky debate, Brent. I look forward to hearing you talk about it because we're going to have a guest next week on the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
All right. So let's move on to Leeds. Another tricky one. And, I think Man United at home, probably a pretty good fixture at this point. I would call that a strong fixture. And Leeds are certainly capable of scoring goals. I was a little surprised that they couldn't put one past Everton. The problem is they don't have anyone who can really play as a forward. I mean, they've got Rodrigo up there just taking speculative shots.
Chopping it up.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, all right, let me see if I can loop this over from 40 yards. And, you know, Daniel James, though, is the one player that – I mean, we all kind of know who he is. It's not like, you know, I'm not trying to sell you on a proven Premier League forward option here, but mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's a midfielder. He's cheap. He's basically playing as their forward. Yeah. And I think you can make an argument for James over Rafinha if you were looking for a cheap double game week option.
Yeah. And a guy who could comfortably run between Harry Maguire's legs, I think to score a goal feels pretty good. He will likely want to show Manchester United, the club that sold him to Leeds, you know, what he's all about.
Yeah,
everybody loves a narrative. So, yeah, it's funny how you're making a stronger argument for Daniel James over Rafinha, but I think given current form, that is where we are. Though Rafinha does, like, if you have him, which you do, Josh, he feels like a strong hold because he is a player that is always capable of surprising you, and he'll take the occasional set piece, and there's high upside with him.
Very weird. I was considering four transfer options going into 24, right? So going into the midweek matches last week. And they were Laporte, who did pick up a clean sheet and then was dropped, just arrested, I should say. Mm-hmm. Reguilón, who I think had 1 point in midweek and didn't play today.
Yeah.
And Dean, who has, I think, 3 points across two matches, and Rafinha, who also has 3 points across two matches. So rarely have I considered four options, not really felt bad about any of them, right? Yeah. Like who I would have, you know, how that could have worked out. Just very strange.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think you can make an argument for Daniel James. I mean, Rafinha, of course you can make an argument for him just because he's just so talented and you know, brilliant player, but he looks off it right now. He really does look off it. And I think there must be some kind of Brazil hangover.
Subbed
right?
at halftime.
Subbed at halftime. And then they asked, Bielsa afterwards. And he was like, yeah, no injury at all. He's fine.
as he winks into the camera, that was all
he did. He did not look good in either match. He's way behind the ball. He doesn't, there's like a burst missing. So I don't know if he just needed a little additional rest or something. But I do wonder if the benching maybe, and I don't know, like going to the psychology corner here too much, but, you know, maybe the benching was a wake up for him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you never want your players to feel like they can, no matter how bad they play, they've got a spot in your 11.
Sure, the Crashmore idea of no matter if I do a bad job, they still have to pay me my $2 million because that's my quote. It's my that's rate. That's my quote.
Crashmore. I sometimes I just sit around and think about, I think you should leave Sketches Burning and how, sure, how much, yeah, I love them. As do you. Yeah. I think that, I don't know. So I think you can still make an argument for Rafinha. He's still setting players up. It'd be nice to see a little more goal threat from him. Rodrigo almost scored, a really nice goal today, yesterday, right before Rafinha was subbed. Actually, one of the reasons I was surprised he was subbed, because he actually played like a peach of a ball to Rodrigo, and Rodrigo's strike almost, it was like, sometimes it hits the bar and it hits the crossbar and it hits the crossbar, but it kind of doesn't. I mean, it's like, glances as it's going up.
Going in.
Yeah. Exactly. It was never going in. This one really hit just below the meat of the bar. Like it really could have, just dropped. It could have been one of those cool crossbar goals, the ones where it hits the top and bounces down.
Yeah. God, I love that.
Yeah.
All right. So Leeds is a little squishy. I think Leeds is the opposite of Burnley and Arsenal, where if you're going to go there speculatively, it's in an attacking sense with Rafinha or Daniel James. Otherwise, like Melier and the various defenders hold no appeal. Liverpool will likely get at least two goals by them. So speaking of, we move on to Liverpool, who are the pick. And I think maybe we table the whole Salah discussion for question two, as noted, Josh, and just talk about other players apart from Salah. And I think here the question that everyone's wondering is, if you only have Trent and Salah, do you go for Jota or do you go for Robertson? If you already have Jota, Salah, and Trent, which both you and I do, I feel like we're pretty much...
I don't have Salah yet.
Oh, right, but you will. I assume. Yeah. I assume you're not going to go...
Mane or something. No, I'm not. I'm planning to go for Mo Salah. I mean, I'm going to wait till the Champions League match is played, just to make sure, right? That he doesn't, pull up. I mean, they're just playing him so many minutes that, like, it would not shock me at all if he picked up some kind of muscle injury.
Sure.
It would have been better, I think, for him not to play at all last Thursday, but... I don't know. I mean, they know better than me, but it just feels like a ton. It just feels like, I mean, it's like with Antonio, it's like, well, yeah, like, wouldn't it help for him to be rested occasionally? And then he wouldn't look like he was exhausted 4 minutes in every match,
Vidra right now is making that same argument to his agent, I'm sure, Josh.
Is Vidra right now, did he move to West Ham in January? I didn't even know that happened.
Or is it Vidra or Vlasic? One of those dudes is the West Ham backup striker.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, yeah, it's
Vlasic.
Like,
Vlasic,
yeah,
I mean.
Vlasic. I mean, he's like, they have a bunch of these guys, Yarmolenko, who are like kind of Bowen, I suppose, right? They're sort of, I mean, I guess it's kind of modern, but their idea is just that, like, we don't need a central forward, really. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, even Antonio, I suppose, is in a sense a converted wing back, right? Yeah. Turned forward. So, hey, it's mostly working for West Ham. They're in fourth place, so I don't want to get too critical there. But yeah, they have the Europa League too, So I don't know. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. So yeah, we actually didn't really talk about Liverpool. I mean, I think it's tricky because most people, I don't really know who I like, who to talk to here. Like, right. Like I think most people listening will have Jota already.
The die is already cast for fantasy managers.
Exactly. If I was on a wild card right now, I think you could make an argument for Robertson over Jota. I know Jota picked up a brace at midweek, but that was kind of a weird one, right? Because you had Mane, Salah just came in, for 25 minutes at the end. I don't know. I mean, Robbo picked up two bonus points today. I don't know. It feels like you could certainly see two clean sheets as well in this match, right? Norwich at home and Leeds at home. So
I think it's incredibly close between Jota and Robertson. Ultimately, I think you say if you're looking to gain overall rank ground, Jota just feels like a better pick to me because there is a higher upside. Sure, Robertson can easily post, 10-plus pointer in a single game week if he gets an attacking return. But I think Jota has the higher odds of of getting a double digit score in either game. So therefore he just feels like the better pick if you're looking to claw back.
Yeah.
Robertson on his own right is really good. So I think that's a more interesting long-term pick if you're just looking to stabilize.
It kind of depends. I think I almost feel like the reverse is true where, okay. I mean, maybe it depends on where you are rank wise, like where, like if you're in the top 100K, Jota's ownership is like 95%, right? So there's really no edge to having him. Like you're not going to make up any ground. You're just not going to lose ground if right. you have him. So if you wanted to make up ground, you would be basically, you'd want to bring in Robertson and bank, basically gamble mm-hmm. that Jota doesn't do anything across a couple of matches. And that would be, you know, that would be the way to be different. It's just a big gamble, right? Because, you know, I mean, Jota's basically playing as not a position forward. And I mean, this is the problem. This is like why it gets so hard, especially this part of the season when you're like, yeah, I'm 118K and I want to have my ground, but there's certain players that you just have to have, yeah. you know, because
I wonder how yeah. much that's going to change over the next 2 weeks. So, yeah. you know, it's talking about the top 100K. A lot of managers are going to have a lot of ideas centered around Liverpool. And I think that the proportion of ownership is going to shift a bit. I don't know which direction.
Yeah.
With the double followed immediately by a Liverpool blank, followed by a number of managers probably wildcarding. Yeah. So I think the Jota situation and the percentage of ownership might look a lot different as we like say head into game week 28.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I talked about that myself, right, on last week's pod about yeah. possibly dropping Jota for Cornet or something like that, just mm-hmm. to, you know, kind of take a gamble and then bring Rabo back in as my replacement. So that is something I'm considering. I mean, that was before the Jota brace, you know. I mean, it's kind of undeniable just how many goals he's scored, you know, on the season. I mean, for his price, like he's
right.
just,
he's got 12 yeah. goals on the season yeah. right yeah. now and yeah. Three assists.
Yeah.
He's weak on bonus is going to be his Achilles yeah. heel. Only yeah. 5 bonus points across those 12 goals for the season, which is pretty weak.
That's shockingly low. I would have yeah. thought, I mean, I guess Salah's just had so many 3 bonus point games, right? But there's still 2 other slots, you know? So it's, I mean, they're the obviously the backs, you know, Rabo and Trent are also like real bonus point goblins.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. Yeah. You look yeah. at like his first bonus point came in game week 13 against Southampton 4-0. So you're talking about clean sheets for all of the active Liverpool defenders, a brace for Jota, and he gets 1 bonus point.
Yeah.
The following game week against Everton, he also comes away with 1 bonus point on 1 goal. Then his brace against Leicester last week, game week 24, is when he yeah. gets 3 bonus, and that completes the 5.
Interesting. Well, let's table the Jota thing for now. I think I actually think he's a great backup triple captain option too. You know, mm-hmm. that's if just something happens with Salah, I think maybe he's probably the second best captain to have this week. So that is like a mild consideration as well. All right, let's move on. This ain't going to be in the whole pod. It's just this section here. So let's move on to let's go a little faster with the sure. rest of these. Okay. So yeah. We've got Palace who play Chelsea at home, Watford away, the classic good and bad double, right? One good match, one bad match. Palace's defense is legit, better than I was, than I given them credit for. Kind of like it's taken me 2/3 of the season before I was finally willing to accept this, you know, yeah. but what do you think about Palace? I mean, anybody, obviously we've talked about Gallagher a lot over this on the course of the season. Edouard's been tricky, right? Has had some moments, but then, you know, didn't start, at midweek, got pulled out 71 minutes, yesterday.
Yeah. I think you could, I love this train of thought. Apparently just target the cheap defender. Now we might be already chock full of the cheap defenders, but Gueye, in central defense, he's scored 2 goals on the season. He is in that Gabriel camp of like, yeah. he's the defender who seems to have the best knack for getting attacking returns. Like fullbacks are just not a consideration fantasy wise for this
team. Is that how
you
say his name? I thought it was Gahee.
Gehi Gwei. Okay, you're going to be the pronunciation police now.
I normally am not. I don't know where that came from, but the one player I'll throw in here, and I agree with you, and I think Gaeta, you know, is another. Even though I know a lot of people who've taken the Gaeta gamble have felt like it was unfortunate, but Will Zaha has had some nice moments the last couple of matches. Hit a great goal in midweek, was really active, missed a pen, a terrible. Well, actually, you know, if you have not watched it, pause the podcast and go watch this Zaha pen miss from midweek. It is probably the worst penalty miss I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's really a classic case of changing your mind at the last second and all blowing up in your face. Yeah.
It was like a pass. Like the rare pass penalty.
To a fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess you could have passed it to somebody. That's another way to do it, right? Yeah, because you, it's just a free kick, right? So, all right. Well, now Gallagher's not eligible to play Chelsea. So he kind of, because he's on loan. So he, it's so funny because it's like crazy to think about Gallagher on Chelsea next season, isn't it? It's interesting to think about that. Like, that's kind of fun to me.
It is. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely leveled up at Palace. The real calculus happens this summer as Chelsea, well, do they want to cash in on the form he's been in this season and just offer him at a profit? Or do they think they can use him? I don't know.
I don't know either. So Spurs. Should talk about Spurs. I was really seriously thinking about Ronaldo to Kane as my double game week move for 26. And I don't know. And then the last two game weeks happened. And now I really don't know what to think. I mean,
Spurs implosion.
Yeah. You've had Son. You got a goal in 24. Yeah. So congrats to you for that. Uh-huh. Son today had a couple moments, right? It wasn't but you know, no returns. I mean, how are you feeling about Son right now? And Kane for that matter.
I do feel like what makes me sleep at night is Son does appear to be the one to own at this point over Kane.
Yep.
And, you know, the obvious caveat being Kane continues to be a player that could, you know, brace it at any moment and having pens, et cetera, et cetera. But Spurs feel so bad at the back, and that you see this happen where your defense just having no footing at all, it carries through the entire team all the way up into the attack, where if the attack has all this anxiety about the defense and they feel like they have to start dropping a little deeper to help cover for those deficiencies, it becomes a problem for the entire team. So Spurs feel like they're in a position where, and they showed this against Wolves, like if the defense isn't working, the attack won't work either. This is not like Martin Skrtel Liverpool. Don't worry if we let in two or three goals, we'll still score seven on the opposition. That's just not where Spurs are right now. I do trust that Conte, you know, will do his utmost. I mean, I think the problem he's experiencing now is he's kind of tried every player imaginable in that back four or five, and none of them are working
up front too, right? I mean, Mora, Bergwijn, like he's trying a lot of stuff, and it's, you know, credit to him for that. I think, you know, right? He's, you know, I mean, maybe I'm sure you can overdo it, but I think, you know, it's worth it. Let's see who, you know, I mean, I think he's playing the long game, right? I don't think his plan is to win the title this season, obviously not, you know? And so, yeah, but you look at Spurs too, and I think the fixtures are important here, right? Because they play Man City away and Burnley away, right? So two bad fixtures. I'm ready now to say that Burnley's defense has repaired itself or what is properly motivated or whatever has shifted. Cause it's basically the same players, that they're, you know, a little more intimidating, I think. And I wouldn't expect Spurs to go in there and score four, right? Mm-hmm. That feels like a 1-0, 1-1 kind of match. And then Man City, I wouldn't expect them to score at all, right? I mean, I don't expect them to score in that game. So suddenly, what am I doing bringing in a Kane or Son for 26? It doesn't feel
or any Spurs
appealing.
Player.
Any Spurs players, yeah.
Yeah, Lloris, Reguilón.
Is Reguilón even a starter anymore? I don't know, like, you know, they had a chance to bring him on early on in the match, and they didn't do it, right? Yeah. So what's going on there? I don't know. Like, it's
messy. everyone's getting frozen out. It's sort of like the kinder, gentler Jose Mourinho in Conte. Yeah. Like, yeah, we'll freeze you out slowly and steadily. Yeah, I don't know. Spurs have to buy a ton of players.
They do. Yeah. But for Sessegnon to go off, I think it was the 27th minute. Yeah. And that would have been the moment to bring on Reguilón in theory. Right. But instead they brought in a guy who I've literally never heard of before. Maybe I should, but I haven't. Dejan Kulusevski.
Yeah, he was one of the January signings. He was the other Juventus player, I think, that they brought
that's
in.
Right. That's right.
So there he is. I think he's at 5.5 in the game as a mid. Now, I mean, I think that's interesting, Bentancur and, you know, this other dude, you know, maybe just shaking up the team chemistry a bit more, getting these guys integrated into the attack might be exactly what Spurs need. But we're in a situation with them where we have to see it to believe it, I think.
So, yeah, we're both feeling a little down on Spurs. The moment I would not consider bringing in Kane or Son. I mean, Son maybe a little more, but I think, if, you know, I would be what maybe it makes me feel like I want to do now is go for a Jimenez type game week 26 option and then use that extra money to possibly upgrade one of my midfielders to Son in 27. Mm-hmm. And then I could captain Son away to Leeds in 27. That feels more appealing to me, but I don't feel like there's any rush to burn points to bring in a Son. I mean, honestly, like I don't want to do this and I don't think I will do this, but Man United play Leeds away in 26. Like, I'm not sure that the problem is I don't know if Ronaldo is going to start that match, right? Because they have the Champions League the following week. So he probably won't. But if Ronaldo was going to start, I probably would just not burn four for a forward, right? Because I don't need to burn four to fund a Salah move. I would just start him away to Leeds. I mean, I know he's been in terrible form, but still, you know, I mean, I don't know. So let's move on, though. We can talk more about Man United down the line. We talked about him a lot. Brandon, we spent about 20 minutes of Man United in every pod so far this season. Watford, this is another team. I'm not sure how much we have to say. I mean, the problem with Watford is there's no one you'd want to bring in. But I feel totally stuck.
This is me banging my head against my microphone about Watford.
Yeah. I'm just going to start King and Dennis. They play Villa away and Palace at home. I don't know what to say. I mean, those are like pretty decent fixtures. They've been capable of scoring goals this season. Like, what am I going to do? Drop one of them for a hit ahead of a double? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just it's kind of how I felt a little bit about Bruno and Ronaldo this week, right? It's like you just kind of. It doesn't feel like any transfer is worth making, and you just kind of want to wait a week and maybe move on from there.
Yeah, you're fishing for like one compelling striker option, and we're still like debating which that one may be.
Yep.
Which to me says there's no compelling reason to just get rid of Dennis or King. Listen, a four-pointer from Dennis. Or King. I mean, particularly with Josh King, a four-pointer on a double would feel like a freaking miracle. Because I haven't gotten more than 2 points from this dude in quite some time. So bring it on.
And there's no way we're getting more than three from Dennis. So maybe four from King.
Just the last thing I would say on Watford from my perspective as a Ben Foster owner is it's another just grip it and rip it. With Ben Foster, I'm not going to spend a transfer to bring in a keeper from a more interesting doubler team. Just try and aim for that saves. 4+. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. 4 to 5 to 6 points on a double game week would feel great.
I think that's right. Yeah, try to get 4 or 5 points. So that brings us to Wolves. Leicester at home, Arsenal away. Pretty good fixtures. I mean, their defense is just so impressive. Right. Like it is a legit defense. They have great center backs. I think that's a big factor. And, Cody in particular has played really well this season. And, I don't know. I mean, eight Nori, came on. He didn't start at midweek, which kind of threw me off a little bit, but he has been the starter otherwise, right? And so I don't know if it was just like maybe like he just got like a little like minutes rest or something like that. I would expect him to start both these matches in 26. If you wanted to go a little safer, you could just go for Cody because there's just no way he's not going to play both of those matches. But
I think Cody is good. I'd also just flag Romain Saiss, who has in spurts over the last few seasons been a really decent attacking option. Yep. And when he's healthy, I think he's integral to that defense. So if you want to spend 0.3 more over Cody, Saiss might be a little bit more fun. But Cody, as a guy who has famously not been able to score goals, has become more and more a danger man on set pieces.
Yeah, three across the last two seasons. It's still fewer than five for Saiss, but he is also a safer pick. Maybe a little more likely to get bonus points if they keep a clean sheet too. I think that there's a decent chance that Wolves get double clean sheets in game week 26. I think that's not outside their own possibility. I think that given what we just saw them do at Spurs, I don't know why they couldn't do that away to Arsenal as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why not? Like, you know, I mean, they're arguably Arsenal's attack is comparable to Spurs in terms of its kind of inconsistencies and, you know, maybe a little bit worse, honestly. And so, and then Leicester at home, I just think that's a clean sheet right there. So I think that, you know, if I needed to make a defender move, I would be more inclined to bring in a Wolves defender than an Arsenal defender, just because they have that fixture in 27, and it just gives you a little more wiggle room, right? Yeah. You just don't have to it's just it kind of saves you a transfer, right? Like, I don't think Arsenal's two home fixtures are so much better than the Wolves fixture that it's necessarily worth going for an Arsenal defender, right? So I would at least keep that in mind. I mean, because in Wolves, so they're away to West Ham in 27. I mean, it's not a great fixture, but, you know, there's a lot of blanks that week, as we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you have three Liverpool players, you're not going to have any for 27. So, you know, I think that you could make an argument for just, you know, grabbing a Wolves defender and hopefully getting 2 points out of them from in 27.
The defensive move I would consider in my team personally is Reece James to Cody, a Wolves defender.
Yep.
But then if I look at my bus team now, I'm talking about benching Cancelo to play a Wolves defender, home Spurs. So I can't do that. So I don't know. Right? I think I might roll on Wolves until 27.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And it's sort of like just if you need somebody, right? And you're thinking about 27.
Except for Jimenez. So it sounds like he's on both of our shopping list at the moment.
I think so. I mean, you know, he's just a class player. It's you know, they haven't been able to create a ton of chances or score a ton of goals this season. But, you know, he's been playing well for Mexico, you know, if that's a consideration, and scored today, which is, I don't know, like it's sort of, we're not getting anything from any of our forwards. So, you know, by hook or by crook, he might end up being the takeaway here. And obviously no one in the Wolves midfield would be on my radar. Give me like a Dan James over any of these kind of inconsistent Wolves midfield options. All right, that was question one. Got four to go. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll answer the final four questions.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, Brendan, we're back. Question number two, are we totally 100% sold on Salah triple captain option? Francis says, has the triple captain Salah bandwagon been derailed by what looks like a tired performance given Klopp's options?
Mm-hmm. This is a tough one. As you mentioned, there is a Champions League fixture to give us another data point or eye test point for Salah and Liverpool. So I think that might be able to change. I mean, Salah scores one nice goal in that match. Let's see. Liverpool play Inter Milan. So yeah, let's sort of like hold the final thought on that until we talked with our patrons at the end of the week. I mean, honestly, it seemed like a cut and dry decision until we watched this Burnley fixture. And
yeah,
it's not like it's totally changed my mind, but now suddenly a decision I had no doubt over, there is a little bit of doubt. Now, okay, yeah. Just like to give a pep talk to FPL managers, you could say, just because there's a little bit of doubt over a move you're going to make, that just means you live in reality, in which nothing is certain, right? And now you've been forced to accept that nothing is certain, even Mo Salah attacking returns. Yeah. And I think, you know, you just have to accept that that's okay. I don't know, is there going to be a better opportunity to play the triple captain is the only way to answer this question, because at this point, one would expect there won't be.
I mean, Chelsea have a bunch of matches to get made up, right? They're going to have a bunch of doubles.
Who are you going to triple captain on Chelsea, though, Josh?
Well, I mean, at the moment, no one. But, I mean, let's see in 7 weeks, right? I mean, I don't know. But I could see an argument for bench boost. In my case, I can't do it because I've got a non-playing second goalkeeper. And I'm not going to bench boost and get zero for my non-playing keeper. But if you had Nick Pope and Ben Foster, right? So two double game week goalkeepers, and you had my bench is actually not bad. I've got Trossard, Cucurella, and Livermento as my three bench options. I think that Livermento starts to becomes a starter again, right? I know he's been like sort of, they were resting him a little bit, treating the knee very carefully, but it was performing so well in that spot that I think he should start that Everton match. So I could at least concoct an argument for that I could get something out of these players. I mean, the problem is I don't really trust Trossard enough, or really honestly Livermento at this point. So
here's my bench boost could look like this.
Yeah.
Mendy, Livermento, Josh Brown, who has a double and a Wolves defender.
Mendy, Livermento, Josh Brown. Yeah. I don't love it. Yeah, right. That feels kind of boring.
That feels a little and slightly anemic, not terrible, but a little anemic. So the logic there is higher upside with the triple captain in 26. Yeah. Bench boost. And I think that's where Chelsea with the double game weeks, bench boost is a little more interesting, I think, from a defensive perspective.
Yeah. We're still talking about Norwich and Leeds at home here. Let's keep the eye on what we're looking at, right? And so good fixtures rescue mediocre form all the time, right?
Yeah, and Norwich have been looking better, but Manchester City exposed them as, this is the same old Norwich. And it was not a full-strength City starting 11.
Yeah, and so let's say, what's the worst-case scenario here? Salah's not going to come off the bench twice, I'll tell you that much, right? Mm-hmm. So the worst-case scenario is he plays a full 90 in one and plays 30 minutes in the other, right? So I still think Salah at 120 minutes is probably better than against these two teams is better than what you're going to get from a double game week option down the line, right? From so another triple captain type player. So I'm with you. I mean, I'm fully on board with the Salah, with the Salah triple captain. I want to at least throw out there, and I want to just note again that, that if you don't have Salah yet, you might as well wait until after the Champions League just to be safe. Mm-hmm. His price has risen a bunch already, but again, it doesn't feel like a season where the team value stuff is going to be super, super important here. Famous last words, but we have 12 weeks left. It's not like we're in game week one where you've got to build it as much of it as possible so you can use it. This is the time, when you can wait. Vice triple captain, Jota or Trent, Brandon?
Blimey, O'Reilly. I've got vice on Jota right now. Have we moved out of the stage of the season where it's a no-no to put a vice on the same team as your captain for fear of a COVID postponement?
Yeah, I think so. They're not going to postpone both those matches, are they? It seems very unlikely. So that brings us to, we talked about under the question three was under the radar. So just resolved. We're both going to bring in, barring injury, we're both going to bring in Salah and triple captain him this weekend, right?
Yeah, and I already have Salah, so I'm halfway there. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm fully in favor of it. You know, just as anybody knows, if you activate the free hit chip, you can't walk it back. But if you activate the triple captainship, you can undo that. So, you know, if you decide, you know, if something happens to Salah this week, but you want to just have that bus team set with the triple captain, you can go ahead and do that and take it off if you need to. Although, honestly, if Salah's out, I think triple captain Jota would be great, like a fantastic option as well, right? I mean, you know, just like what he did this week without Sal on the pitch. So,
Trent is compelling. Yeah. Trent is compelling. I'll say that much. I know you went through this
just
last week.
10 points. Yeah, exactly. We talked about under the radar options a little bit, so I don't think we need to go through that again. That was question three. I'm going to switch these around, Brandon, because I think of the next two questions. I'm so glad I read them off the start of the pod and then just ignored everything.
It was looking was so do. Good back then. Oh, was. Like best podcast so, ever.
I felt so clear headed. But question five, I think, is, you know, ties in with this kind of bench boost talk we were just having a second ago, which is, you know, to what degree can we ignore the doubles? And Rich Kosler says, how do we balance a good single game week players against getting in players of a double in game week 26? Bowen is a great example. And so, I think this is really important because I'm in this spot right now. You mentioned Cancelo before. Mm-hmm. I've got Cancelo plays Spurs away. I've got Bowen plays Newcastle.
Spurs home, actually, for Cancelo.
Or Spurs home, excuse me. Right, right. So Cancelo plays Spurs home. Bowen plays Newcastle at home. I'm planning to drop them, but Ronaldo and Fernandez have Leeds away. Terrific. It's a terrific fixture for any attacking player. I've got Cucurella who plays Burnley at home, right? I mean, sounds like a great fixture for a Brighton defender. Trossard, Burnley at home, not terrible either. So I think I might only have six or seven double game week players, right? Even though it's like this huge double game week, I don't feel the need to go -8, -12 here because the singles are so good. I mean, you cannot drop Jared Bowen, just undroppable for this Newcastle fixture. Soufal and Cucurella both feel like great defensive options. No need to burn four to double up on a defender, right? I mean, especially Cucurella.
Any concern about Ryan Fredericks coming on for Soufal in around the 65th minute?
Slight concern. And I'm certainly going to start Cucurella over Soufal. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, you know, if something happened and I needed him to count the bench, it's his spot. I still feel like it's his spot, you know? And then Cancelo to me is you just play him every week, double game week or not. And so there you go. That's four players right there. I mean, if you include De Gea as my keeper, I'm certainly not going to drop De Gea. I mean, I guess you could make an argument for dropping De Gea for Pope, right? Because then you'd have Pope for double game week 26 and 27. Maybe I should actually consider that, honestly, because
I mean, you've really not been singing De Gea's praises recently.
No, I mean, Man United are going to concede in that match for sure, right? And so then I would just need at least 6 points from Pope to make up for that, and then I'd have a double game week keeper in 20. The problem is the Man United play Watford at home in 27, so it's not like they blank or they have like a terrible fixture or something. So I don't know. I mean, it's at least an argument that I would that you could consider. That feels a little aggressive, like burning four for a keeper. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not like in love with it. So I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you know, how many double game week players do you think you're going to end up having in 26?
Yeah, right now I'm sitting on nine double game weekers. I think with Bowen and Cancelo, I'll have 10.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're, you know.
Well, you mean nine, right? Because if you start those two, you'd only have nine.
That's correct.
Spots.
Yeah, nine.
Right.
nine. And yeah, and I think Brownhill was the other double game weeker I was counting.
I think
he stays on the bench. There's, sure. He might not start for one of those doubles anyway.
Yeah.
So nine, and then I would have to choose to bench Bowen or Cancelo in order to play more than that. And I'm with you on the logic that you just laid out. I feel like I haven't been specifically planning for game week 26 to get this many players out. I mean, Watford might be the one team that I wouldn't have had triple Watford if I didn't know that this game week 26 was on the horizon. But I say that to mean like this hasn't been felt like an imperative to me to get an entire double starting lineup out for this week. And I just think that there are so few red hot form players in the league right now that you have to double or single game week, whatever, focus on those form players. And we've already said their names, Cancelo, Bowen, Liverpool luckily have their double. So that would be my focus.
Yeah. And I think I kind of like the idea of having like a little like emotional, is it an emotional hedge or is it just like, I want to have like one player this game week who's a double game week player who, like, I think that Ronaldo spot, I'm really, especially if Ronaldo starts in midweek, I think they probably rest him this weekend for the Champions League match that they have, you know, a couple days after that. So I think that it just seems extremely likely to me, very logical that they would do that. So I think I want that forward spot to be somebody that is kind of fun, that can be my different player for the double game week. And just, I mean, like, I don't know if that's even like maximizing returns or not, but that just, I just would really look forward to the double game week if I had one player that was like, okay, Jimenez is my guy this weekend, and I'm just going to, I get, you know, I can celebrate his goals because his ownership is not at 99.99%, you know? And so that's kind of where I'm leaning, which brings us to the final question here, Brandon, which is forwards. You know, talked about this already. FPL Brooklyn asked, what do you think about the Ronaldo to Kane move? I mean, at this point, is that worth even a transfer, let alone a -4?
Well, I mean, I know that you're in the doghouse with United fans for your rhetoric, your awful rhetoric against them. I do think it should be underlined, though, like how repugnant Ronaldo's form is right now. Now, Kane isn't exactly scoring the goals, but it just feels like there is at least an opportunity with Harry Kane with this double and the fixtures coming up. There is at least opportunity there. So I think if you have the transfer to play, if you feel good about the rest of your team and Ronaldo is just sitting there, Ronaldo to Kane, I'd co-sign on that.
Yeah, I mean, looking out of the forward options for 26, I mean, it's really tricky, right? I mean, you've got Kane, Jimenez, like who's blowing us away? Lacazette, Edouard, like. Where are we going here? Firmino, like, he's not going to start both matches. I guess Weghorst would be the one, if he gets a clean bill of health, right? Mm-hmm. If he trains Thursday and Friday, it's not like I'm blown away by Burnley's fixtures, but he feels like the one where because you basically get four fixtures in two game weeks, right? You get the double this week, double next week. He probably is one who may be worth the -4 because then you already give yourself a double game week player in 27 as well.
In the spirit of my response to the last question, Broja at Southampton is probably one of the best form forwards right now, the last month or so.
So good in that Man United match.
He really did. And
he's hulking, right? It's fair to call him a hulking player, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got a body. You know, it's that scene from Moneyball where the old school baseball coaches are talking about, yeah, got a real baseball
body.
Broja's got a good body. And they've got two home fixtures across 26 and 27, Everton and Norwich. I don't know. It does feel like if you don't already have Broja to use a transfer in 26 on him,
it doesn't
feel awesome to me, even though I really endorse him as a pick.
No, I burn in four for a single game week player in a big double game week. That just feels like one of those. Like, I know like there could be some long term benefit, but I'm with you. Does not feel that is not making fantasy fun, Brandon. I'll say that much. Tony D had a question that I thought was interesting. He said, with value for money being minimal for strikers, how low do we go in terms of budget strikers? I mean, are you really willing to commit to having two non-playing forwards, Brandon, in order to spread that money around the rest of your team?
No, I'm not. I mean, maybe now. Okay, so if you're thinking of playing your wild card, you can't do that. I mean, okay, so if you haven't played your wild card, you can maybe reform your team to have one playing striker and invest in the midfield, knowing that you will play a wild card to rectify that. Because when we get to the point where we want to play our bench boost and another big double, you're going to need those other two strikers to be getting minutes. So don't paint yourself into that corner where you're going to lose out with your bench boost chip. And this has been the backbone of the always cheating play style forever, Josh, is we pretty much always have three playing forwards.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, I feel like I've been playing around with my formations a lot this year. I've done a lot of 4-4-2s and five at the back and things like that. But it just, I can't quite commit. Partially because I don't think I need the money, right? I just don't, you know, some of these Kinsella type players, I got them when they were fairly cheap. It sort of depends on, you know, I mean, yeah, I can see like if you bought Jota late, if you bought Kinsella late, if you bought Trent late, you know, you had to pay a full market price for them. You know, maybe you do need to go a little bit lower here, but I just don't feel like having like cash is like a big problem for me right now. So I'm not really sure what I would do with all that extra money. Like, you know, if I, and then I just have no bench, you know, it's like, I mean, COVID could still happen, right? It's like, yeah, we're not seeing matches canceled, but we still are seeing one-off players, right? I mean, that's Trossard 0 points this week, right? Cause he got COVID and they just didn't want to get him onto the pitch, right? And give him a little more time to recover or whatever. So like that's still going to happen. And so I don't like being that caught out bench wise.
Broja is 5.2 million. There are 90 minute a match strikers out there who are cheap as all get out, you know, Mape 6.6. You can easily find three solid starting forwards under 7 million and make all your midfield dreams come true.
So we're very high on Broja, but it's just not the right game week, I think, to target him. So yeah, I think we're on the same page there. Brandon, that's the pod.
Great.
We ended up, it was basically one question that we spent an hour on and then a bunch of smaller ones. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to, I don't know about you. It's funny because I haven't really, 24 and 25 didn't like go great for me, but for whatever reason, I feel like my energy is back for fantasy. I'm just enjoying myself right now. And I don't know if it was because I was fighting with all those people on Twitter about Jadon Sancho or what, but maybe it's just the regular matches, but I feel like you're feeling the same way. Like both of us, I feel like both of us just have better energy right now. And I think that winter with all the canceled matches was just a lot for everybody.
Very much so. Yeah. I think because now we have more certainty about matches being played, now that we can see the end game, like this is a really fun part of the season for FPL managers who have stuck with it through all of this, where you get to do this fun end of season strategy, and this is really where, you know, the hardcore make their bones.
I've got five players on Tuesday, right? Like, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe all five of them blank, but there's
not,
it's
likely
fun, you know. It's not likely, hopefully one of five, right? It's like you know, so at least I've got a sweat though, like that's part of the fun. It's just like who knows, you know, what's going to happen. So
exactly. Absolutely. But yeah, good vibes from the cheaters going into Game Week 26 and beyond. Yes. And if you want to thank us for these vibes and catch some of the vibes, you can always support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go to check out the various pledge levels and what you get in return. There's more fantasy content you get in return, Josh. Do that at patreon.com/alwayscheating. Josh, say thank you to our producer patrons.
I will say, look at that. I like to do the thank yous, Brennan. You usually do them. I think it's because I jump into the talk first, and then I get to ask you to do it. Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Fobergs, Go Gang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Murkoff, FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Kieran Sweeten, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Mikey Yuong, Martin Savage, Brian T, The Big Gaffer, Babas Kuhn, Bruce Kerr, Sam Schauer, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Majoria. Shiv will be, Brandon will be seeing you soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rom Frost, AJ, Jeremy Spiker, Lazarus Unois, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Caleb Robbie, Todd Byerly, Alper Paxoy, Martin Obseth, Lee Hickman, Valger Paulson Kruger. I forgot a couple names at the top of this page, but I'm just realizing. Jazz Binning, Francis Moore, managed by Lassa, James Keatley, Keegan Walsh, the Saint, FPL Pessimist, Zirkin, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, and last but not least, Dave Wegner Lodahl.
Wow, Dave got bumped to the bottom. Sorry about the demotion, Dave.
There's an order of when people became supporters. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever you listen to the podcast. It really does help people to find the podcast, and we really appreciate it whenever you do it. If you could follow us on Twitter, that'd be great. Unfollow us if you don't like what I'm saying. I totally understand. Instagram at Hail Cheaters, Facebook at always, facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email us hailcheaters@gmail.com. We get the occasional email, and it's always fun to see. It's very longer it tends to be.
And it's like getting a letter in the mail.
It's like getting a letter in the mail. And you can find the podcast and all sorts of other information and the Always Cheating shop, of course, on alwayscheating.com. Mugs, t-shirts, etc., all there. Thank you for listening. Poke it forever. Good luck this weekend. Brandon, anything you want to say?
I want to say hail cheaters. And yeah, Mbakani, I know you're listening. We love you.
All right. Talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.